Have a fantasy football question? Call the Fan Line at 336-1230. And now, back to Fantasy Football Thursday with Chris Tubbs and David Brown.
This is Fantasy Football Thursday here at KWSN. I am Chris Tubbs, being joined by David Brown from Midco Sports Network. Talking fantasy football running backs up until 6 o'clock today. Coming up later on in the show, we'll talk about some of the offseason moves and have our five questions segment. David, again, people wanted to tweet at you. Exactly how would they do that?
They would do it at D Brown, Midco SN.
And I am CM Tubbs, T-U-B-B-S. Let's go ahead and get into our KWSN Fantasy Football Thursday reach around.
Have a player you really like and can't afford to miss on him? It's time for the Fantasy Football Thursday reach around.
Who are you reaching around for, David?
When we say reach around, we'll clarify. We'll reach around earlier than normal. People get your minds out of the gutter. Reach one round higher.
They know what we mean.
Exactly.
They know what we mean.
Exactly.
We got smart listeners.
We do have smart listeners. But for those who may be tuning in for the first time, this is what we're clarifying it as. So this is a guy who maybe has a fourth round grade, but you're in the third round and you can't help but reach for him. That is what we mean by reach around. I'm reaching around, and this is a guy that gets maligned a lot. I'm reaching around for C.J. Spiller out of the Buffalo Bills. Injured last year, didn't have the greatest of seasons, but look at the statistics. In terms of total yards for the past two seasons, the Bills have ranked sixth in 2012, second in 2013. In attempts, 13th in 2012, but first in rushing attempts last year. Now, I know he splits time with Fred Jackson every now and then, but Fred Jackson's numbers have gone up and down each of the last three seasons. So I look at a guy like Spiller behind a revamped offensive line and a passing game that hasn't developed yet. He's not necessarily a workhorse, Spiller that is, but he's going to be someone who can still catch out of the backfield and someone who can still, at least from all perspectives, still run the ball effectively behind a revamped offensive line in Buffalo. They went out in free agency and signed some new guards. I like C.J. Spiller.
So that means right now in standard 12-team leagues, he's going as the seventh pick in the third round. If you're looking at a running back number two, ultimately that's where you'd value him. The one thing that I'd be concerned about is Bryce Brown, signing him in the offseason. Is that going to cut into his workload? Obviously, if C.J. Spiller is healthy, then obviously C.J. Spiller is based on talent, he'd be the guy. A guy that I am going to reach for, actually, is Kerry Robinson from New Orleans. You know, Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram, Darren Sproles, New Orleans' running back situation for the past couple of years has been awful, fantasy perspective. The only thing you knew was that Darren Sproles was going to catch some passes. But apparently, you take a look at this 24-year-old kid. I think he's got probably the highest ceiling. Bill Parcells talked to Sean Payton and compared him to Curtis Martin. And we know Curtis Martin now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Robinson led the Saints in carries, as a matter of fact. 13 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown in their final playoff game. He had 60 receptions in 2 years in college. And without Darren Sproles, I'm not convinced that Mark Ingram is going to amount to anything in the professional ranks. I think right now, if you're looking at somebody that could be a sneaky flex or maybe a running back number two candidate, he's the guy. And right now, as I'm looking in standard 12-team leagues, he's going the beginning of the ninth round. And for that kind of an offense, if you can nab him in the eighth round as a running back number two slash flex, I think you'd be very happy.
For most people, they look at the New Orleans running back situation over the past couple of years and see that no one has stepped up. It's been flavor of the week. And so I think when you look at a new guy like Robinson, I think, yeah, you could take a chance on him. Like, you know what you have in Pierre Thomas. You know what you have in Mark Ingram. And years before, you knew what you had in Chris Ivory. None of those, they had flash in the pan weeks, and then they would disappear altogether. So it's a risk, but if you're going to take a risk on a Saints running back, I would agree,
Robinson's the guy.
As far as another person I would reach around for, our old buddy from Minnesota, Toby Gerhart for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars, 31st in rushing yards last year, 28th in rushing attempts. Maurice Jones-Drew was hurt. They've never really had a great running game since the days of Fred Taylor, but the difference this year, they've invested money and draft picks in the offensive line. They got Zane Beadles from Denver, a huge cog in that Denver offensive line that helped Monty Ball and helped Knowshon Moreno last year when Peyton Manning wasn't exactly finding his receivers. Toby Gerhart, I think what a lot of people say is true. He doesn't have a lot of mileage on him. And when they're looking for him to be the workhorse running back in Jacksonville with only Jordan Todman, I believe, behind him, and Todman was a former Vikings practice squad player who never really established himself, I look at Toby Gerhart as a guy who can really break out this year behind a revamped offensive line and for finally being the guy in an offense.
Well, when you're looking at Toby Gerhart, what's most intriguing to me is the fact that he doesn't have any tread off the tire.
Yep.
At all. And
he's been in the league for 4 years, and he, I believe, has 270-some-odd carries.
And I think you take a look at really what the Falcons have done. Thomas Dimitroff, you know, the general manager, Dave Caldwell, is from Atlanta, and that's where Dimitroff, his first order of business in Jacksonville or in Atlanta was to sign Michael Turner, and therefore that was that safety net for Matt Ryan. Well, let's make the comparison to Jacksonville. You get a young quarterback in Blake Bortles. You didn't have a running back. Boom, you got a guy like Toby Gerhart. Put it this way, the first year that Michael Turner was in that Atlanta offense, 376 carries. So Toby Gerhart should, by three quarters through the year, should at least match his career total in carries. A guy that I'm going to reach around for, and I know call me crazy, David Wilson from the New York Giants.
I'm going to call you crazy.
Now, I know, and that's good, because I know that he had that neck injury, and I was waiting for him last year. And listen, I understand if you're a little sour on him. I totally get that. But right now, he's going outside the top 40. He has the talent. Let's put it this way. The past five seasons, Giants running backs have the second most rushing touchdowns in 74 and the 11th most rushing yards with over 8,300. He's a big play guy. He doesn't need many touches to get into the end zone. Five scores and 75 touches in his rookie year. And you sign Rashad Jennings. Even if he's getting 15 touches, I feel confident with David Wilson, assuming that he stays healthy. And I know right now that's a pretty big risk, but I'm willing to take that chance with a guy that's got the upside of David Wilson.
So you think Rashad Jennings' signings won't impact Wilson that much, or do you think it'll just impact him minimally?
I think it will impact him minimally. I think if David Wilson is healthy, if they can prove that he can stay healthy, I think David Wilson will be there. Rashad Jennings, no matter where he's gone, whether it's been Jacksonville, Oakland, he's only put up big numbers when he's been pressed into duty as a back. He's never gone in and won a job outright. And that's why I think it was nice for Rashad Jennings last year in Oakland when Darren McFadden went down, and good for fantasy owners. Everything being equal, I think David Wilson, if healthy, is that main tailback with the New York Giants.
Last person I would reach around for. Now, this is based on what I've seen as average draft position for this particular player. A guy who's kind of been undervalued his whole career, but has been quietly producing his whole career, is Frank Gore from the San Francisco 49ers. Now, they got a rookie, they got Carlos Hyde this year, but you don't know what he can provide. Obviously, very explosive at Ohio State, and they have Marcus Lattimore way down the line. You don't know what that potential is going to be because he hasn't been right since his knee injury at South Carolina. But with Frank Gore, you're going to consistently get an 11 to 1,200-yard rusher, and the San Francisco 49ers are the only team in the last 2 years to be in the top 10 in both rushing attempts and rushing yards. Now, part of that, you may say, is because of Colin Kaepernick. I grant you that. But Frank Gore has never had a long-term injury. He's never had a career-defining or ending injury. He's consistently chugged out work, and there's no real goal line back established in San Francisco, so you don't have to worry about someone snaking touchdowns from Frank Gore. I think he'll be consistent toward the end of the year and rank up there, maybe even top 10, in terms of both yards and touchdowns.
Well, right now in a standard 12-team league, Frank Gore going at the end of the fourth round, and that actually brings me to our next part of the segment.
Who should you stay away from? It's time to let him go.
I'm going to let Frank Gore go for the guy that you just mentioned, Carlos Hyde, because this is a guy that you look at. He's very similar to Eddie Lacy. Now, I know last year they drafted Marcus Lattimore out of South Carolina. they don't know if he's going to pan out. That's why you go out and you get a guy like Carlos Hyde. He's going to be the favorite, I think, really, for early down and goal line work. I think Kendall Hunter, he might play on the passing downs, but I really believe that if Frank Gore went down, Carlos Hyde would be the guy. I don't like dealing with Frank Gore's week-to-week game-time decision. That drives me nuts, and I don't want to be the one holding the bag when Frank Gore, when he starts to tail off. So, yeah, that's a guy that I'll reach for Carlos Hyde.
Okay. And you can handcuff, obviously, and we're going to talk about handcuffs later, but Carlos Hyde, you like him. I don't know the potential quite yet, and that's obvious because he's a rookie, but I do see your point that he could be the guy to snake goal line carries mm-hmm. from Frank Gore just because Frank Gore is the veteran. Person on my do not draft list, Ben Tate, Cleveland Browns. You and I talked about this last week, and I think we agree. Terrence West will take over the starting role by week four, if not earlier. I just don't think Ben Tate was ever really established as a running back in Houston. I think people were upset because Arian Foster was graded too highly. So when Ben Tate came into the game, whatever he did seemed amplified even bigger. Now he parlayed that into I don't know if you'd call it a fat contract since the market for running backs this offseason was pretty low, but he parlayed that into a potential starting role for the Cleveland Browns. But I think even with that good offensive line, with Joe Thomas on the left side and that good offensive line, I think it'll be more about Johnny Manziel trying to establish himself in the passing game without Josh Gordon, and I don't think Ben Tate can establish himself, and Terrence West, to me, is the better running back, so I would not draft Ben Tate.
Yeah, really, right now, you can look at Terrence West in the seventh round or Ben Tate in the fifth. I agree. I think Terrence West is going to give you the better value. A guy that I'm staying away from a couple years ago, great rookie year, I'm staying away from Doug Martin. Because number one, you sign Charles Sims. He's one of those guys that I think could really sneak some carries away from him. But he was so inconsistent last year. And even with that shoulder surgery, he just was not having a good year prior to going down. I mean, you saw what Mike James did before he went down. And then Bobby Rainey. Those two guys put up bigger numbers, or at least James would have. Bobby Rainey put up better numbers than Doug Martin. I think he's a running back number two. He's going to be overvalued. I think a lot of people are going to look at him as maybe being a bounce back candidate. Right now, I see him going at the beginning of the second round. That's a little too risky for my blood.
Person on my do not draft list, I don't know if this is a bit of a cop out, but any New England Patriot running back. Bill Belichick is the new Mike Shanahan. You never know who the runner is going to be. Is it Stephen Ridley? Is it Shane Vereen? Heck, it could be Lawrence Maroney. He could go back in the time machine and get Lawrence Maroney back. A little bit of my Gopher pride there.
Corey Dillon.
Curtis Martin.
Kevin Falk.
Craig James.
Robert Edwards.
Man, what he could have had if he hadn't played flag football that
offseason. I know. Just one day at the beach. Don't ever go to the beach, kids.
Except if you do go to the beach, just don't play flag football.
Exactly.
But the running back by committee, New England has never established itself. LeGarrette Blount last year. We'll talk about LeGarrette Blount, mm-hmm. who's now a Pittsburgh Steeler a bit later, but any New England back I would just avoid. I would avoid them like the plague just because you never know who's going to be consistently there each and every week. You know this offense is defined by Tom Brady, and while Tom Brady can make his receivers better, he can't make his running backs better.
Quickly, who you got for your breakout performer this year?
Funny you should mention, my breakout guy is Doug Martin. We disagree on Frank Gore, we disagree on Doug Martin. Doug Martin hurt last year. When has Doug Martin had a good quarterback? Never. He has a good quarterback now in Josh McCown. Vincent Jackson's established himself. Mike Evans on the outside will establish himself as well. They signed Anthony Collins and Evan Dietrich Smith to shore up that offensive line. Doug Martin's going to get more passes out of the backfield. He's going to have better holes and lanes to run through, and he's going to have the defense spread out because they got two big wide receiver targets. Doug Martin will have a bounce back year.
A guy that I think we talked about, Toby Gerhardt, just because it's going to be a matter of volume. And I'll be honest, that AFC South is not a very good division.
No.
Toby Gerhardt, 15 to 20 touches a game, I think is completely conceivable and your bust candidate for this year.
Tough to say with him in the news right now, Ray Rice. Ray Rice has fallen off every year since 2011. His yards have gone down each and every year since 2011. He's obviously suspended the first two games this year. That was ruled today by Commissioner Goodell. So do you really want Ray Rice in declining stats for only 14 games? I think Bernard Pierce, if you're going to have Ray Rice, you better handcuff him with Bernard Pierce. I think Ray Rice is on a decline.
A guy that I don't like Chris Johnson going to the New York Jets. I mean, he finished 45th out of 47 qualified running backs last year in average yards after contact. After contact. The thing is, he's got to be able to get through that line. If he can get through that line, he's fine. But the problem is, if you get him within a yard or two of the line of scrimmage, he's a feast or famine player. He might be a nice flex player, but I don't want him. I don't want him, especially with Michael Vick and Geno Smith as your quarterbacks. When we come back, what are some common mistakes that fantasy players are making and guys that are going too high or too low? It's all coming up here on it is Fantasy Football Thursday here on Sioux Falls Sports Radio, AM 1230 and FM 98.1 KWSN.